Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Turning God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Going to be a very different morning. All right? You say, why? Because the Lord spoke to me and I've set my heart for it to be different. What we're going to do is, over the next part of this service, we're going to create an atmosphere for words of knowledge and words of wisdom and healings and miracles to come forth through you. Let me tell you, my job is shifting. My responsibility is shifting. Where used to I would go and release signs and wonders and do miracles and do healings and everything, God is now allowing me to move into a place that I can become an orchestrator of Holy Spirit movement in the corporate body. We saw some of it last night in Jonesboro, and we're going to see some of it today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, are you there? I want you, before I begin to read, look into God's Word there and just notice that the word gifts is italicized. How many of you in your printed out Word of God, that word is italicized? Hold your hand up. Look around and see how many hands up. Those of you that your word is not italicized, you've got the wrong Bible. It should be italicized. You know, if you have any kind of study Bible, even in my electronic Bible, the word gifts is italicized. I want to read it like it is in your word, and then I want to go back and clarify something so we can have some understanding today. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 1. But the word gifts in the original text is not there. It's not italicized there on the screen, but it's not there. If you got, how many of you have access to a Strong's Concordance? I love my electronic stuff because I have it in my MacBook Pro. I have access to it in my iPad, in my phone. If you would go and look up this scripture there, you would discover that the word gifts is given the Strong's number 9999. 9,999. If you would go to the front of a Strong's Concordance and look there, he would tell you in the preference or with it that any word that he gives the number 9999 is not there in the original manuscript. See, how many of you know translators sometimes try to help God make things clear only to make things muddled? How many of you have spent any time of your walk with God trying to discover what your spiritual gifts were? Come on, hold your hand up. Let me just tell you, over the last 30 years, for about probably 18 years, probably 20 years ago, I discovered, no, I'm longer than that now, probably 25 years ago, I discovered this truth. But before I did, I sent countless people into nervous breakdown trying to discover what their gifts were. And I shifted. I want to read it to you like it is in God's Word, in the original manuscript. Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. If I would ask you, Carla, traditionally, you're a friend of mine, I'm picking on you, but if I would ask you what 1 Corinthians 12 is about, what would have be your answer? Spiritual gifts. I want to tell you, time out. I want you to listen to me. There are not 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. There is the gift of Holy Spirit and the 9 manifestations of that gift. And if you'll quit seeking to understand, to come into your discovering your gifting and just begin to build a relationship with Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see all 9 of these manifestations begin to flow. It is time, it is time, it is time that we don't go out and look to minister. We just go out and become ministry because we have Holy Spirit within us and we are intimate with Holy Spirit and He can't keep from flowing out of you. Are you hearing me? We had an incredible prayer meeting in Evansville, Indiana the other day on the site that 100 years ago Maria Woodworth Edder held her healing crusade there. And we had one of her descendants, Jack Welch, who is married to Deb, and they were there with us. And we carried a team to the very site. It's called Evans Hall. And it's now a library. And 100 years ago, in 1914, she held these healing meetings there. And we knew we were there for a reason. And we were prophesying, Jim, to that healing anointing to begin to flow again in Evansville. And someone had, a lot of research had been done before we got there. But someone began to Google, and they discovered that the very site we were standing on is where Robert Evans, the man who pioneered Evansville, his home place was. And then we discovered also that after him and his wife had built their home and had their children, he had two sons, and one son killed the other son. And he laid down in depression and gave up his pioneering anointing. So we knew then we wasn't just there to call the healing well for. We were there to call that pioneering spirit. And I mean, right on hot asphalt that we were standing on, people began to be touched in a mighty way. But more prophecy began to come forth. Janet Douglas's team just began to flow. Jack and Deb Welch just began to flow. And we began to see the manifestation of what Holy Spirit was doing in a greater capacity, in a greater way with that. I'm telling you, it's time. I said all that because I want to wet your whistle. On July the 17th at 7 o'clock in the morning, a team from here is going to be leaving, going to Philadelphia, Mississippi, so we can do a prayer walk down at the Neshoba County Fairground. That is where the power grid of government in the state of Mississippi lies. It's a false government. We need to break that thing. We've been going there for 7 years. If you desire to travel with us down there that morning, you must be here in the van ready to leave at 7 o'clock. Some of you need to go. Some of you never been on these prayer things where things are released. We need your power of agreement, and you need to learn some things. Is that all right? I smiled my pastoral smile when I said that. I'm just telling you. You go anywhere that you want to go. Just, you know, with it. I woke up this morning with a knowing we've got to quit choosing the things we like and our favorite preachers and our favorite messages, and we've got to be open to everything. Some of the worst messages I've ever heard in my life spoke the loudest to me. Three falls in the forest. It falls on Dan. Vicky's going to lift it up. Amen? Wow, I don't know what happened to my my Bible out of there. My iPad is acting up. Oh, here it comes up. Now, I want to go on reading for a few more moments. Out of 1 Corinthians, and I want to lay out about the manifestations, okay? Verse 2 says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts." Now let's talk. That word there, gifts, is there, okay? But that is actually the word charisma, or is actually where we get the word grace. There are a diversity of graces. How many of you realize that there is a grace on Jim and Debbie Lehman to understand Hebrew, Jewish roots and like that? They amaze me. I read that stuff and I don't get nothing out of it. Now, maybe I'm dense as a, you know, petrified log. I don't know, but I just love the way, and I hear the life of God on it when they do. And I want to commend you, Jim and Debbie, for this. The one thing I love about them, they're not trying to make us Jews. They're trying to help us understand that in our roots, there's life when we come into understanding that. And that's a beautiful thing, because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to make you a Jew and putting you under law to do things a certain way. There's life in it and with that. But what I want you to catch here is the fact that there are diversity of graces, but it's the same Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. I got news for you. The same Holy Spirit that baptized me in Holy Spirit many years ago and gave me the ability to pray in the Spirit. Kore basakaramati kore manandori. Gave me that ability is the same Holy Spirit that indwells a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian. And the traditional people hide behind this and say, but do all speak in tongues? That's not giving you a right. You know, we could say, are you going to quit praying for people to be healed because some are not healed? Let me just share with you, we are moving into a time that we are going to have to sharpen our weaponry. We're going to have to take on some new weaponry. And I'm hearing God say that, I heard it through Jane Hammond, we need to pray in the Spirit more. But we also need to begin to interpret our prayer language. I don't want you to show me your hand. When's the last time you were in your prayer closet praying for a while in tongues and you interpreted what you were praying? Remember what Paul said? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I pray in the language of angels and men, there is a heavenly language that we can pray in that is important, but are you interpreting it? We are in a new season, and the weapons of the old season are no longer, the weapons that we've warred with the prophetic are no longer sufficient for warring with in this season. We've got to go to another level. I'm carrying this word. We've got to move from being defensive and reactive into being proactive and offensive. Intercessors in this house, let me give you the word of the Lord. It's great to see what the enemy is doing, but it's better to hear from God before he does it and cut him off. That's the new word. I'm carrying the new season. I'm carrying the new word. A man out of Nigeria called me years ago. We lived in Dyersburg. You remember that, Susan? Man, that if I said his name, many of you have heard his name. And he called me and he wanted to talk to me. He had actually Googled the word purpose, and Purpose to the Nations website came up and my picture was on it. And he said, God spoke to him. He said, that man's carrying the future. You need to talk to him. I'm carrying the future, but I got news for you. So are you. Everything that's in you is about the future. How many of you know you can't undo your past, but you can redeem it by being obedient in the future? Too many people are trying to undo things that went wrong in the past. Take that wrong, that failure, that misunderstanding, and let it launch you into this season, because I'm telling you, there are diversities of graces, but there is only one Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God. It's in every church today. How many of you heard this scripture? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I can't quote it. Some of you theologians, it's in Corinthians. I remember that. Is it 517, 417, somewhere like that? But let me tell you what it really says in the original text. It's totally different. It doesn't say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It says where the Spirit is Lord. How many of you know in some traditional churches today, Holy Spirit's there, but he's not placed in that place of lordship so that he can take? What would happen right now if Kim Minton stood up and began to prophesy and it was the Spirit of the Lord on her and this whole service shifted? See, what you have to understand, in this new season, God is seeking to bring forth the body of Christ corporately so that it's not just all, I know I'm the one man at the front at this moment, but what I'm asking God to do is to begin to manifest himself. And just a little bit, we're going to free that. And I believe words of knowledge and words of wisdom and healings and miracles are going to begin to take place through you because you're hearing God. And we've got to create this atmosphere and this environment. Someone challenged me recently and said, I hear what's in your heart to do there in that territory, but don't you know you're going to create a mess that all those lawless people are going to come in and start taking over, sir? It ain't going to happen. Because we're going to work with them and we're going to love. Why is it that can you imagine that somebody going up to Edison and say, you know, you can keep trying to develop a light bulb, but it ain't going to work. I'm tired of the people telling me something won't work. Just live in fear. Be frozen. Be afraid to step out. I'd rather be like Peter and sink than stay in the stinking boat. But Apostle, we know that's your nature. You just like change and you like stirring up trouble. And No. That's his nature in me. I mean, come on, look at this. A funeral procession coming down the road and he interrupts it and raises the man. That's not orthodox. Amen? I mean, even before Jesus' time, you know, the enemy's coming. They're about to bury a man in the grave. Was that Elijah or Elisha? I get the two of them mixed up, but one or the other. And they get scared. The enemy comes, so they just throw the dead man in the grave. And when he hits the bones of a dead prophet, he bounces back out of there. Listen, those guys that threw him in thought they were scared of the enemy, but they was really scared when he come out of there. And here's the interesting thing. So I have roots in the faith camp, and I love the faith camp. But you know, how many of you know that dead bones of a prophet didn't have no faith? And those guys that threw that dead man in there didn't have any faith. They just trying to get rid of the body so they could leave town. And how many of you know a dead body doesn't have any faith? I'm trying to help you see something here. But he came back out of there. What about the man now near Yazoo City? I can't remember the name of the town, but in the very town that Bishop Mason was born, that recently they delivered him to the funeral home. You know, they're getting, you know, he's back there in a body bag. They're getting ready to embalm him, and he comes back to life. Are you hearing me? So what, you know, that just happened. Hey, camera guys, could you put something on the screen? Put the camera on something and get on the screen. I don't know if you can or not. But if you can, let me know that you can. I want you to zero in on this picture that Susan's got and put it on the screen. What do you see yourself as? Do you see yourself defeated? Let me tell you what I got news for. Like I said earlier in the sermon, I can push hard in the devil in the bush. Because I am aware that behind me, my older brother, his name is Yeshua. Can I tell y'all one of my stories? Y'all know I'm famous for experiences and stories, but can I just share this with you? Years ago, we got a call about a guy that was in the church in Dyersburg, and he had backslid, and he'd gotten back on crack, and he was in a crack house. At that time, there were 5 crack houses in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and I loaded up my son-in-law, Brian, because he was a bail's bondsman at the time, and he carried a pistol, and I loaded up my son, who's tough as a keg of nails, and we went to find him. And I'm prophetic. And we went to 4 crack houses, and he wasn't in any of them. The last one we went to. We get there, and when we do it, you just have to understand my son-in-law, Brian Pence. I don't know if you know about him. He's much like me. He ain't scared of nothing. And so we pull up there. I drove in those days a black Suburban with the windows blacked out. One part of Dyersburg we was going, there was a little boy, he'd run behind the houses, and he would shout in the house, the man's in the neighborhood. They thought I was the law. We finally get to this place, and I hide my Suburban, but just where I could see this crack house, and Brian goes up there and knocks on the door. When they open, he steps in, they close the door. I go ballistic. I told my son, I said, get up there. And we started going up there, and about that time, here come everybody in the crack house. Started coming out, and the guy we were looking for was with him, and the only person that looked like they were alive is the guy who ran the crack house. Tim, you know what I'm talking about. You working this all, I mean, it looked like the night of the living dead. We went up there, and I told the young man that we were there to get, I said, the state's fixing to take your children away from you. The title place is going to come get your van. Do you want help? And he broke his heart. He said, I need help. I said, if you really want help, we'll get you the help. We'll carry you down to the Salvation Army and get you in the rehab. We'll do something for you. We'll work with you. He said, I want help. I looked at Brian and Dean, and I told him, I said, you drive his van. He can ride with me. And they got his keys, and they started his van, and the guy that was running the crack house, and he was a big dude. He said to me, he said, either the van stays or he stays. He owes me money. And when he did, this is exactly what I did. I turned. And I did this, and I said, you don't want no trouble with me. When I did, let me tell you, I've been out there a little bit. Usually that'll get him. He didn't step back, he stepped in. And I remember thinking, that was around our 30th wedding anniversary, and And we had hired a trainer, and I was working out, and I was bench pressing all that, and I thought for just a moment, I'm fit to get to use these muscles. But anyway, I'm not going to go into the details of the rest of the story, but I said the most unconventional thing to him. I'll tell you what I said, but I'm not going to go into the detail. Yeah, I am. And I said to him, I said, when he stepped into me to reach for me, I said, do you watch movies? And I stood there thinking, oh my God, where'd that come from? And the guy stopped and he looked at me in bewilderment. He said, yeah, I do. And I said, did you watch that movie, The Apostle? He said, yeah, I did. I said, did you see where that preacher took that guy outside in the dark? Can I be me? And whoop the hell out of him? The guy said, yeah, I did. And I put my finger in his face and I said, it ain't even dark. Now, this is what my son, who has the gift of discernment, said. He said, Dad, when you said that, two angels stood up behind you, were about 9 foot tall. Now, let me just tell you, my African-American friends, please give me some grace. You ain't never seen a black man moonwalk backwards in your life like that guy did. And this is what he said. He said, Mister, I don't want no backside whooping. And I cleaned that up for you. Took that young man and we got him with that. Now, here's what I want you to catch. I'm telling you, your big brother's standing behind you, and it's time to push. It's about releasing. Don't be worried about missing it. What if this is not a word of knowledge? What if it is? What if that's not a word of wisdom? What if it is? Wonder if what you've got is going to set the captive free. It's going to bring hope to somebody that's hopeless. It's going to cause something to shift and to change with that. It's time to step out of the boat. It's time to be willing to sink. It's time to move out beyond where your mindset wants you to go. I love what Vicky's going to be teaching. I hope that you'll get in that. But let me just tell you, if you don't have the time to go to that, get that book, read that book. And if you want even more, go back to Francis Payne's book from years ago, The Three Battlegrounds. The main battleground that's going on in you is in your mind. It's between your ears. It's behind your eyeballs. And if you'll change the way that you think and you'll understand that you're not a victim, but you are a victor, that you are more than a conqueror, I want to tell you, Holy Spirit will start moving through you. I want to say one other thing. Quit trying to develop a ministry. How many of you believe God has emotions? I believe God is emotionally upset over all this ministry. Listen, just quit trying to have a ministry and just start being who you are, and ministry will flow out of you naturally. I didn't have to tell my car this morning, you are a car. You will crank. You will carry me to the church. I will show up on time. What it was created to do, it did this morning. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen? Any of you have these new cars that have fobs that you never have to plug in or anything? You just carry them in your pocket and start your vehicle? I came home the other day, was sitting in the car having a long conversation with someone, and Susan, I was parked behind her, she needed the car. I got out of the car and she got in the car and she went shopping, but when she cut the car off, she realized she didn't have a fob. And I very seldom lay my phone down, but my battery was dead. I put it on the charger, and I was out in the garage working on some things. And for about, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes, she's texting and calling, where are you? Because she was there and didn't have any way to go. How many of you know you got to have the power source? See, having a relationship with Holy Spirit is like having a fob in your pocket when you get ready to, ministry is just there ready to happen. See, some of you are looking to build a ministry, try to discover your gift, but it's about just letting Holy Spirit. Let me read some more scriptures and we're going to release this thing. There are diversity of graces, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's all the same God who works all in all. But listen to this, but the manifestation. Say the manifestation. And some of the prophetic language with it, the prophetic thing is about that, is about the dancing hand of God. When the dancing hand of God comes upon people, you're not going to look to do ministry, you're going to be ministry. You can be sitting in a restaurant and hear a conversation all the way across the restaurant, and you go over there and give them a word of knowledge. You know, when I met with six very important songwriters out of the country and western industry. I'm talking about people who have written songs you've listened to. And Ricky Skaggs set up a meeting to where I could meet with them and speak into them. And they asked me to demonstrate hearing the voice of God. And it was our waitress was named Caitlin. And she came back to the table and I looked her right in the eye. I said, if you had a brother named Richard, would he be having legal problems? And her, I'm talking about, you know, in Nashville, in a restaurant that I've never been in. And she looked me in the eye and said, you know my brother Richard? I said, no. And I said, does he have legal problems? She said, yeah. I said, he let some people bring a bunch of music equipment, sound equipment over to his house to store it. And it was stolen. He's been arrested for it. It's not hard. Now see, some of you, your brain tends to say, well, you're prophetic, you're a prophet, you're an apostle, God just does. No, I do that as a son of God. When you understand it's not about gifting, it's about relationship, you can step and engage it at any time you want to. You can pull up to the person in the toll booth to cut your money and tell them, your son Robert is going to be okay. Amen? You can see these manifestations on a consistent and regular basis because you have that relationship. How many of you with your spouse, you have the kind of relationship that they don't have to say things to you? You just know what they're thinking. You know, I've had times where I've been gone a week at a time, and I'll come in and into the house, and Susan will be standing behind the sink, and I can tell by her body language something's ajar. You know, something's not there, or I can call home on the phone. See, he wants us to work with him in that same degree of relationship. Are you hearing me? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Look at your neighbor and say, you are one. Say it again. That wasn't strong enough. You are one. Now look at your neighbor and say, I am one. He didn't just give it to some. He gave the manifestations to all. Somebody say all. He gave it to all. And when you tap into that relationship, you'll begin to see it. And then it goes on. It's given to each one for the profit of all. It's not so you can have a ministry and profit. I'm still trying to figure out what I am being a prophet in a nonprofit organization. That confuses me at times. Amen? But see, it's for the profit of all. When a word of knowledge comes forth today, it's for the profit. It's not just for that person. I'm telling you, experiences that Susan and I have had over the years, we understand now that they were more as much for us as it was for the people that we ministered to. And by the way, if you've not gone to the website, they've got it embedded and saw the word that Dutch brought over us back in February. Dutch brought the word. Jane Hammond came here in May and unlocked the word. And Glory of Zion and Peter Wagner and Chuck Pierce and those guys activated it. I'm just telling you. I told someone this morning, I've always felt 10 to 15 years younger than I am. I carry that. I feel 20 to 25 years younger after last week. I'm just telling you, I've got energy. Woo! Somebody's already said to me, well, you're losing weight. That's probably what it is. No, I know where my source is, and this is spiritual. It's not physical. I'm not going to receive your prophecy about that. Listen, when you can be tired, you can be weary, and he reached down. I want to tell you, it was so powerful. The word spoke over us and things that happened. And with that, I mean, it was just incredible. And go on. For to one is given a word of wisdom. Let's talk about this word of wisdom for just a moment. A word of wisdom always deals with the now into the future. It always has a foretelling effect. Listen, you can gain wisdom from your past, but wisdom has to be instituted in the now. You can't apply wisdom to your past. Are you hearing me? For to one is given a word of wisdom. That's a manifestation of Holy Spirit that's in you. I want to tell you, we are in a time you can tap into levels of wisdom like you've never had before. It will flow through you. It will come out of you. The spirit of counsel will rest upon you. You can be the person at FedEx. You can be the person at UPS. You can be the person at Aflac. You can be the person there that the wisdom flows through. Amen? You need to realize God has put you in those places because there is the counsel of God is within you by Holy Spirit, and it will come out of you if you'll quit trying to do it to impress somebody or build a ministry. Do I need to say that again? I'm not going to listen. In Isaiah 22, it talks about the firing of Shebna, and that's what he's trying to fire over this nation. He's trying to get rid of the attitude and not just get rid of the people. He wants them to shift in their mindset of trying to build ministries and trying to do this. That's what Shebna is about. He's firing Shebna so that we can rise up. How many of you know it's not about your purpose? It's about Christ's purpose through you. The religious church has told us, said, if you can just discover your purpose through his life. No, that's a reverse order. It's about discovering his purpose through your life. Jesus wants to live through you. How many of you ever read this in James 4 and 7? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. A lot of people are resisting the devil without ever submitting themselves to God. And it just goes on and on. They just keep running around Gilgal, wearing out Reeboks, getting tired, and then they begin to believe that God's not God. Why didn't he heal so-and-so? I can't answer that. I don't know why. You know, maybe, I'm not saying this at all, but maybe so-and-so had some unforgiveness or some sin. God can't take cancer if somebody's filled with racism. I want to paint you a picture. This hand represents someone. Inside a circle on that hand, I want you to see cancer. How many of you know cancer is not of God? But inside that circle that represents someone is racism. Or bitterness. Or unforgiveness. Or adultery. Or fornication. Well, Apostle, you plowing close to the corn today. Would it be right for God to go inside of this person that's represented by my hand and take the cancer out of them but leave the racism? Or would it be right for him to go in and take the cancer out of them and leave the adultery or leave the fornication? See, we don't always know what's going on in somebody's life. That's not always the case. I don't have the answers to it. You know, they asked Jesus one time, is the sin of his parents the sin of the child? Well, I don't think we always will know and understand, but what I want you to catch is this. God wants to heal everyone. He wants to heal everyone the same. There are things that will keep a healing from coming forth. How many of you realize that there is something that makes the word of God of none effect? It's called traditions, and tradition has to do with the will of man. Yes. You can pray any prayer you want over someone. I had to counsel with someone this week about divorce, and they've been believing for their husband to come back to them. He's in adultery and everything with that. And one thing I had to tell him, he has a will. God will try to work on him. He'll try to convict him. He'll try to shift him. He'll try to do everything he can to get him to give his heart back to him. But at the end of the day, the will of man can bind up the hand of God. And you can believe all you want to for someone else, and you can say the prayer, and then they do this. They say to me, "Well, I don't want to let God down." How are you going to let God down if that man don't want to change? I've watched too many, and I'm not just. It happens both ways to both, either spouse. But sometimes women hold on too long trying to make something work. And then they get weary and they get weak and then they end up divorced and then they feel like God failed them and then they fail God. And I'm preaching good. Are you listening good? Come on, we've put things on people religiously. I'm against divorce. Some of you that are visitors today and guests, maybe you've not heard that. My mother and dad were married and divorced to each other 3 times. I know the heartache of divorce. Every time they came back together, I had a hope. And every time they would divorce, it would destroy me. I understand. And when one of my daughters went through a divorce, it was harder than all those divorces. But I'm telling you that I read in an old book somewhere that God said himself that I decree divorce because of the hardness of men's heart. He divorced Israel is what it said. That's strong language, isn't it, Jim? Don't go out of here saying I'm advocating, but I want to tell you something. Don't kick against the pricks. Understand that you can become weary and well-doing trying to do something because a religious spirit said, you know, I'll fail God. Yeah. To another, words of knowledge. Words of knowledge deal with the now and to the past. They have a forthtelling. Not foretelling of what's going to come. They have a forthtelling effect. Through the same spirit to another faith. Let me just share it with you. The manifestation of faith is going to be on the increase in the body of Christ in the days to come. You're going to see people stand up and give a word, speak forth in the manifestation of faith, and faith's going to enter in the room. I believe with all my heart what I saw in the spirit, what I'm about to, I believe they're going to stand up and say, if you'll reach up and reach into the heart of God right now, you'll be healed, and there'll be everyone in the room healed. Anybody ever been where the manifestation of faith was in operation? Your faith can go to another level. My best example is this. Some of you are going to disagree with me. How many of you believe that Benny Hinn has the manifestation or gift of healing? Hold your hand up if you do. I don't. I believe he has the manifestation of faith. Most people are healed when they come on the platform because he has people interviewing them out here. He hadn't prayed for him. He hadn't laid hands on him. What he does, he comes in and creates in the environment faith to where their faith can reach higher than it had before. We need that manifestation. We need it in this house. We need it in the church. We need it in this territory. We need it in the city. We need someone to press into God intimately and move into that place. I saw Susan's mother years ago in a church of 46 or 50 people, and most of them were on unemployment in a little bitty town in Arkansas. Stood up on a Sunday, and she exhorted the church and said, I believe we take an offering. It was a brand new church plant. This was 1985. We take an offering right now. God's going to give us a miracle. Can you remember the amount? Anymore? $35,000 at least. I mean, it was $35,000 came in. Nobody was wealthy in that room. And I'm telling you, over half of that 46 people were on unemployment. And I was one of them. And $30,000 came in a handful of people. With no wealthy people in the room. I'm telling you, when faith is in operation, your faith can reach higher than it's ever reached, and it can attain things with God. We need these manifestations. To another by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same spirit. Now that word gifts is there, but that is graces or charismas of healing. How many of you know some people carry a different grace about healing? Even Jesus prayed for a man one time. He said, what do you see? And he said, I see men like trees. I see people like trees. Sometimes healings are gradual, and sometimes healings are instantaneously. Years ago, I had hemorrhoids. To the degree that a doctor said I needed surgery. And in Beattyville, Kentucky, Ray Crabtree's church one night, last night of a week revival, I got under a healing anointing and people started getting healed. At the end of the service, we were actually moving house in Dyersburg. I jumped in my car to do an 8-hour drive, my little Jetta diesel. I'm going down the road. About 2 hours later, I realized that burning, uncomfortable sensation didn't come into my body. And when I went back to the doctor after that, no sign. And no knife came. Listen, I'm just telling you, that was a grace. I have a grace that I receive most of my healing when I'm praying for other people. There's a grace. And so there are different graces or gifts of healing. We need that. See, some of you might just be graced to, you know, for blind eyes. Or, you know, God is not, I don't want you to limit. I don't want you to put God in the box. It's time to let him out of the, actually, God's not in the box. You can't put God in the box. I've had that on my Facebook page, but this is what I've discovered. I had on there that my job was to get God out of the box. That's not true. My job is to get you out of the box. You can't put God, you ain't big enough to put God in the box. What you can do is put yourself in the box. How many of you heard the happy song? Who is it, does it? Yeah. How many of you heard that song? How many of you heard a line in it? Like being in a room that the roof's been taken off. You know that when whoever, I don't know if he wrote that song, I don't know who wrote it, but can I tell you something? God gave it to him. He's prophesying over this nation. It's just like Dutch was on Sid Roth the other day about people that are hopeless. I'm just telling you, hope is flooding back into the body of Christ. Happiness is flooding back into the body of Christ. And when happiness or hope hits you, it's like being in a room that the roof's been taken off. In fact, I had a dream the other night. Matt and Natalie and the worship team here was doing the happy song. Amen. They were saying, listen, it's time to understand. Do you think God is limited to just prophesying through Chuck Pierce's and Dutch Sheets's and Cindy Jacobs and Clay Nash's and yourself? He can prophesy through a donkey and he can prophesy through somebody who's not even born. I don't know about the guy that wrote it, so I'm not judging him. But I'm just telling you, if he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through anybody he wants to, and he can bring forth words like that. He's trying to take the roof off and get you out of that box. So you can get in with him and you can flow with him in ways that you've never flown before. Are you hearing me today? Come Tuesday night. That's a good word. You need to be, listen, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. Even the military takes their special forces guys and women back through retraining every once in a while. You need to be here on Tuesday night. If you're watching my web streaming, it will be streamed. I'm telling you, need, but it's nothing like being in the room. There's greatness about web streaming and there's weakness about it. There's nothing like being here. God wants to sharpen you, and on Tuesday night, under Vicky's teaching, you will be sharpened here and you will be activated to a whole nother level. Are you hearing me? To another working of miracles. We need some miracle workers. How many of you, anybody here feel like you have the grace to wait on tables? That's what deacons do. You know, they're caring for people and with that. Can I share something? Stephen was not an apostle. Stephen was not a prophet. Stephen was not an evangelist. Stephen was not a pastor. Stephen was not a teacher. He was a deacon. He was of the first original deacons that was set in there in the book of Acts. And he did so many signs and wonders, they stoned him to death. I want some deacons like that. Amen? Ed Walker, you are one. I'm not saying you're going to be stoned, but you're a deacon like that. You're a deacon like that. There's other people in this room that's a deacon like that. He was so... No, I didn't say he was going to get stoned either, all right? Ed cares about people. But Stephen did so many miracles. They carried him to the edge of the city. Saul, who later became Paul and became an apostle, was there at his death. And they stoned him because they were fearful. Listen, when you rise up and begin to be who you really are, it's going to be so natural that miracles will flow out of you. You're going to see the dead raised. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see, I mean, the reports that are coming in from the healing rooms are just, Ira sent out one this morning. I mean, I think it was his niece or something. I mean, just incredible, incredible. Hope's got a feathering testimony about the young woman who power of God came on her in New York City when she was prayed for here in the healing room. She had somewhat kind of intestinal disease that they might have had to put a colostomy, if I got the word right, on her. She doesn't have any problems today. Thank you, You know she didn't know she was being prayed for? It can't be mind. Someone told me recently, well, some of that charismatic stuff y'all do just mind over matter. And listen, if she didn't know in her mind, how did it matter? But yet she got the touch of the Lord and the proofs in her body. Are you hearing me? Come on, we got to catch this, all right? To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, that's one that's on the rise. All of them should be, but that's one. We need more discernment. Let me tell you what discernment does. It doesn't show you problems, it shows you answers. It doesn't show you darkness, it shows you light. It doesn't show you people's weaknesses, it shows you their potential. When you really have the gift of discerning of spirits, you're going to speak to the Israel that God is forming and not the Jacob that He's created. Anybody here ever heard of a bad person or a person you felt was bad, wasn't in total alignment with God, to get a great prophetic word? I have. I've given them. Makes people mad. I know a man years ago that got a revival was stopped because he prophesied into someone who was living a perverted lifestyle. And the pastor of the church shut down and said, there's no way God would say that to him. You know what it did? It won that person's heart out of homosexuality and into Christ. God spoke to their potential. He didn't speak to their past. Are you there? To another, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongue. But listen to this, verse 11, and we're going to shift. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. When I discovered it was not gifts and it was about the gift of Holy Spirit, when I begin to fulfill 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, where it says the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the communion of Holy Spirit be with you all, I'm telling you, I begin to move in all nine of these manifestations. I wasn't limited to one or two or three or four. I begin to move. I've seen miracles. I've seen several miracles that are documented and with that, and you'll begin to see miracles. Now, here's what I want us to do. Okay? I know we have maybe some guests in today and we honor you, but we are a Spirit-filled church. I'm asking those of you that have this ability, and if you're here and you want this ability, we'll pray with you. But I want us to pray in a spirit for a moment, and I want us to ask God for words of knowledge. Let me explain. Words of knowledge deal with now into the past. A word of knowledge could be there's somebody here that's got a irregular heartbeat. There's someone here that you've been fighting depression. And so we're going to begin to, listen, if you need to go, it's 12 o'clock. The restaurants are full already. I promise you that the Baptists ran out of there to get there before you did. They don't want us there. And so, with it, I'm just being a little bit humorous, but I'm just telling you, stay with us. We're going to activate. There's words of knowledge. There's mantles of healing that's in this room today, and we want to activate that for just a few moments before we go home. So let's pray in the Spirit. Come on, you pray in the Spirit. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you as we pray in the Spirit. We're going to release Holy Spirit to release words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healings, miracles. All of this will begin to come forth, Lord God. We thank you for that. Settle. Let it settle on your people, Lord. Let it come now in a very powerful way. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord.